Opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
This is Liberty Bell Smack with your hosts, Mark Mancini, Sal Tartaglia, and Marianne Castello. Talking everything sports, everything Philly style. Liberty Bell Smack, right here. Right now. You are listening to Liberty Bell Smack right here on WWDB AM Talk 860. It's going to be a lip smack in trash talking good Philadelphia style time. We're here every Thursday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's prime time, drive time if you're in the East. And you have five ways to listen, whichever works best for you. You can tune in to WWDB AM Talk 860 right out of Philadelphia. You're not in Philly? No worries. You could find us on HD2. To radio station 97.5, or you can listen to us anytime, anywhere if you download the WWDB radio app or go to WWDBAM.com and click listen live. Or better yet, you could call the listen or to talk to us at 888-329-3306. I am Marianne Castello, one of your hosts here on Liberty Bell Smack. And without further ado, we're going to bring on our second host. He is a broadcast vet born in Pittsburgh, but raised in sunny L.A. You know him from his years in the ring with Extreme Professional Wrestling on TV. He's got over 17 years behind the mic from San Diego to Los Angeles with SiriusXM, the SB Nation American Forces Network, and now Philly on WWDBAM, as well as the Saucy Spin online radio show and the Breaking It Down podcast. If it's sports, he's done it, or he knows all Let's about it. Let's welcome our host, Mr. Mark Mancini. Hey, Mark.
Always a pleasure. I'm glad you're back. I think you did 25 cities in 5 days. Man, oh man. I don't know how the heck you did it, but we're glad we're back. I know live listeners now in Philadelphia and going to enjoy my cheesesteak and suck it down with a Diet Coke. I don't know what you are, Sal, going to do.
Well, I got to tell you, Sal's in the green room, and let's tell you a little bit about him. He is a product of the schools and playing fields of Drexel Hills, Delaware County, by way of Southwest Philadelphia. He's been in the Navy. He's been in the construction industry and was a nuclear medicine tech. And while doing all of that, he even had time to compile over 30 years of highlights and stats of World Series games and published his first book, World Series Chronology. While doing press for the book, he developed a taste for broadcasting. And here he is. Let's welcome our host, Sal Tartaglia.
Thanks, Mayor. Thanks, Mayor. Hi, Philly. I'm a little disgruntled because of two reasons. Number one, we lost the series against the Mets. And number two, usually talking smack with my New York buddies. I can't. Facebook blocked me the other day, so they think I'm probably running scared. I'm not. I wish the hell I could talk some smack, win or lose. All right.
Well, I have to tell you, I like to talk some smack. You guys got a second?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Nectar, the legendary rock bands, we did 17 shows, and we did every state, every city up and down, actually through New York State, and then we went to the Midwest all the way down to Kansas City. We have gotten our new album. It's The Nectar, The Other Side, but this is the deluxe set. And what makes it deluxe, it's the DVD of the making of The Other Side. Wow. So yours truly might have a guest spot
there
on there because I'm just a rotten person, according to this, you'll see. So you guys can get that at nectarsmusic.com. And I thought about you guys every step of the way. And when I was we were in Albany at the Linda. And when we were playing there, Liberty Bell Smack came up. So I thought that was interesting to know
great.
That we have fans there.
Wow.
And I thought I'd mention it and give a shout out to all the fans that listen all the way through the Midwest. I was shocked to hear that. So I think it's time for you guys to say hello, Nectarines.
Hello, Nectar. We missed you.
Hello, Nectarine. I heard you had a nice time signing autographs and, doing really good there.
They were lucky to have you. We missed you. terribly.
Yeah.
Aww,
yeah.
Thank you.
We could take the black patch off our show shirts this week.
Absolutely, but you know what, guys? On Saturday, if you're not doing anything, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, April 23rd, we'll be at the Cutting Room in New York City. And then the following Wednesday after that, just before another episode of Liberty Bell Smack, we will be in Annapolis, Maryland at Ram's Head.
Wow.
And then for the first week of May, Cinco de Mayo, guys, I hate to tell you, I'll be in the Caribbean on a cruise to the edge with Nectar.
Wow.
And I have to tell you, they all did a great job lighting shows. It was wonderful.
Give me the Maryland date again.
That is Wednesday, and that is April 27th at Ram's Head on Stage for the next big show for Nectar after New York.
Okay.
And then we'll be... Then I'll be cruising away.
Lucky
I'll be
you.
Thinking about
yeah.
it.
Lucky you.
Oh, I
Sal
can't.
Sal and Mancini will be out of sight and out of mind for a few weeks.
Are you going to bring back pictures?
Yeah.
No,
if you
no,
follow
don't,
me on Facebook,
don't,
you'll
don't,
see
don't.
Them.
It's evidence. Jay will tell you. It's evidence.
Sal, what pictures do you want?
I keep them clean.
What pictures are you looking for?
Come on,
I know
Mark.
What he's looking for.
Come on, Mark. I plead the fifth.
Hey, I gave you behind the scenes photos in the dressing rooms. Even one went
that's right. That's right.
Yes, I did. And so, speaking of that, we have our guests patiently waiting.
Yeah.
And we have some great sponsors we'd like to get to next before we get to our guests. So we'll be right back right after this.
Somewhere along the line, the service industry took a wrong turn. But not at the family-owned and operated JT Auto Body, proudly serving its customers for over 25 years. JT Auto Body works with all the major insurance companies, so estimates will be accurate and worry-free. From full body repair to custom paint and everything in between. Located at 416 Primos Avenue in Fallcroft. Call 610-534-1643 for expert work done right. JT Auto Body. Service done right.
Experience the madness on Thursday and Friday, March 17th and 18th at the all-new Delco Cup. Opening round of the tournament, enjoy $3 domestics and $3.50 imports from noon to 7. You heard me, noon to 7. Don't miss a single second of action from the opening tip-offs to the game-winning buzzer beaters. On every TV, watch every play, catch every game. Be a part of the madness at the all-new Delco Cup, 209 Baltimore Pike in Springfield. Please drink responsibly.
I'm Kirk Hawkins. When I'm in Philly, I listen to WWDB Liberty Bell Smack.
Hey, Philadelphia, Philly, I love you, man. This is Cornelius Brad Hanna from Hanna Time Sports Talk Radio nationwide. You know what? Philly's got great cheesesteaks, great people, great love, but they got the greatest sports radio talk show in town, Liberty Bell Smack. Check it out. Listen in on WWDB AM Talk 860.
And we are back right here on Liberty Bell Smack on WWDB AM Talk 860, where my host, Sal Tartaglia, Mark Mancini, and myself, Marianne Costello, we are about to have a lip smack in trash talking good Philadelphia style time. Are you guys ready?
Absolutely.
We are ready.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, he's been waiting in the green room, so here we go. He is an American formal professional baseball center fielder for 11 years in the major leagues for the Chicago Cubs, Oakland Athletics, Los Angeles Dodgers, San Francisco Giants, and a two-time World Series champion. In 1969, he was drafted by the Chicago Cubs in the 12th round of the amateur draft from Central Washington University, making his MLB debut on September 3rd, 1971, at the age of 23. He was traded to the Oakland Athletics after the 1972 season and then started in the center field in their 1973 season, where he posted career highs in batting average .285 and 98 runs scored. He was also the first player in Oakland Athletics history to serve as a designated hitter. He went 2-for-5 in the Athletics 1973 season opener. On September 20th that year, he tripped over first base, resulting in an ankle sprain, which not only cost him the American League stolen base title when he was second only one behind Tommy Harper, it also sidelined him for the remainder of the season and cost him the chance to play in the postseason. But then, in 1974, he did lead the league in steals with 54 while being with the Oakland Athletics and won its third consecutive World Series title. In 1976, he led the American League in steals with 75, which at that time was the second highest in a season franchise history, trailing only Eddie Collins with 81 in 1910 with what there was the Philadelphia Athletics. In 1977, his injuries limited him to only 56 games and was traded to the Los Angeles Dodgers. His Dodgers won the National League pennant. After the season, the San Francisco Giants signed him as a free agent, where he returned to form with 58 stolen bases, the most by a Giant in the live ball era. His injuries kept him out of 20 games, who prevented him from breaking an overall franchise record of 62. He ended his MLB career after the 1981 strike interrupted the season with the Giants. His MLB stats totaled 11 seasons, played 1,169 games in MLB, with a career batting average of .262 and an on-base percentage of .365, with 640 runs scored, received 627 total walks, and 395 career stolen bases, making him one of the fastest men in the game, earning him two American League base stealing titles. He utilized his speed in the field to lead American Leaguer outfielders three times in total chances per game, twice in putouts, and once each in assists and double plays. He was also a switch hitter, and he threw right-handed. It is admirable that he left for pro ball only a few credits short from graduating, but returned in 1993 to complete his degree in sociology. He pursued different vocations before becoming a financial planner. He also taught the art of hitting to high school, college, and pro athletes. He has a love for pinch hitting, reading, and crossword puzzles. And he's here today in Philly to hit it out of the park. Let's welcome Bill North to Liberty Bell Smack. Hey, Bill.
Baby.
There was some good stuff in there, and there was some bad stuff in there.
Hey, you know what, Bill? Mark Mancini here, and I'm going to throw a couple, give it over to Sal, and then when we have our next great guest in here, we always go back and forth towards the end of the show. But let me tell you something. I'm 60 years old. I feel like I'm 30, but I've never seen a decade of great baseball teams than the decade you were part of that started out in the 70s. Those Oakland A's, the swinging A's, the white shoes, Charlie Finley, the mustaches, man, matched up with the Reds, the Pirates, the Phillies, the Dodgers, the list goes on and on. Tell the listeners about that decade of baseball, because the Oakland A's were something, man.
Well, that decade of baseball was came after a decade and a half before that, where the greatest ball players to ever play the game played. I mean, I'm talking from Willie Mays, and you, the list is innumerable. But and to be able to, as a kid, to have those idols and then be able to be on the field with them later in your life was truly a dream come true. Thank you, Lord.
You know, and you and I talk a lot. You know, I love Dick Williams being the manager of that team back then. And a lot of people, you know, probably, I don't know if they even understood him, but making room for you to play center field that 1 year, having Reggie Jackson go to right. Boy, the teams that faced you guys, even on the base paths, it was tough to keep Burt Campaneris and you off the path because catchers and pitchers had to be busy, wouldn't you say?
That was back when we ran. And sometimes it wasn't the time to run, but you had to run anyway. And the bad part about it is you had to do it on the first three pitches or the guy behind you would get mad because now you're taking up his bat. So that was, yeah, it was a good era. It was a good era. And then my dream come true. When I was 10, the Yankees and the Braves were playing in the World Series. And that was Hank Aaron and Mickey Mantle. And those were guys. And then to be able to stand out there in 73, it broke my heart because I got hurt. But in 74, to be able to stand out there and look around. And those World Series, when you when I gave you that dream, it's I've had a special life.
Yeah, Bill, Sal Tartaglia here. Hi. The A's were truly a dynamite, dominant team. If it wasn't for the newly established ALCS, which was only 3 or 4 years old, the A's would have went to 5 straight World Series, because the 2 league championships that they lost, they had a better record than the teams that beat them. So it wouldn't have been an availability for those teams. But anyway, I wanted to talk about what Mark was asking. In 73, when you got a chance to play center field. First of all, I didn't see Reggie as a center fielder. It didn't seem ideal to me.
No, it was it was George Hendricks before that.
Yeah.
And they had traded him.
Right.
And they had gotten Billy Conigliaro.
Right. Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, Tony's brother. But anyway,
And then they threw me in over there Chicago.
How did Reggie take it? Did he seem aggravated? Because I know you and him got in a fight, and I'll get to that later. I know you and him got in a fight later in the year in Detroit. But how did he take it when they moved him to right and to make room for you?
Well, he wasn't a center fielder any.
Right, right.
Like I was saying, yeah. He was a right fielder.
Yeah.
And that's where he played all the time. He had played center field the year before in the World Series because I got hurt.
Right. That's right.
But other than that, he always played right field.
So he was okay with that.
I mean, he was positioned in right field. I played center and right.
Because he seemed
500 and some home runs. So that was a pretty fair trade-off.
Because he seemed to be the center of friction a lot. I know you and him got in a fight in Detroit, and when Fosse broke it up, only Jackson and Fosse got hurt. I hear you, Bill. You won that one. But why didn't Sal Bando break it up? Because from what I understood, he was the guy that usually held court in the clubhouse. Am I correct in assuming that?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you haven't been in many locker room fights.
Well, not in the major leagues, but I have my share.
Yeah, you know, hey, man, that stuff comes as it comes.
Right, right.
You know, it's rather spontaneous, I would say. But, Reggie, I got along with Reggie good. We just had some business to take care of, and we did. And after that, hey, man, right. If he called me right now and asked me for something, I'd be there in a second now.
Yeah. It seemed to hold the team together, which was strange. I know you just had a commonality hating the owner. Everybody did, but.
Yeah. That was part of it. But, you know, on that right there, we didn't fight any more than any other team I had been on. You get 25 guys together with egos and personalities like that. If you ain't thumping sometime in the year, then something's wrong.
Right. It just seemed to be publicized more because you guys are really flamboyant and good. So, you know, you got.
Well, we were world champions.
Right, right.
You know, Billy, you know, Vida Blue, unbelievable man. When you looked at Vida Blue and some of these guys and Raleigh Fingers and Campaneris and everything. And for some of these teams, and a lot of people thought the 76 Reds were the best team, that they've seen in quite a while. I'd have to match your Oakland A's up there, and I'm going to be a little biased here. I'll put my Pittsburgh Pirates in that next, too, winning 2 titles in the 70s. What's your take on the big red machine back then?
Well, they were good, but didn't they get beat in 72?
72 by you guys. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And they only won 2, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I got you. Now, we won 3. We beat them, and they won 2. And they're the best team?
No. They were in 4. That's why they get credit. But, no, you guys carried the 70s. Absolutely.
Out of all of them, when you talked about the 79 Pirates, you them guys could hit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think they went to bed with the bats.
Yeah.
Oh, you should have seen them coming out of the locker room in San Francisco in Candlestick Park, because they knew it was going to be cold and they didn't have any heaters in the visiting dugout. And they had these big old coats on, but all of them were carrying about 5 hats over their shoulder with a cup of coffee.
Dude, those guys during batting practice, I think, you know, they hit that ball pretty much to Seattle from San Francisco, seeing Parker and Stargell just tee off along with Madlock.
Right.
Oh, yeah. They had a couple other guys over there, too. And Oliver and Omar Moreno, and they had some bangers over there, boy. Yeah. I'm telling you.
So real fast, and I'll get it back over to Sal. As far as the stolen bases, you know, it's kind of gone away today. And I kind of grew up watching you and Lou Brock and all these guys, you know, Omar Moreno. What's happened to that? Because it was so important in the game, especially in the National League and you know, in the American League as well. But why is it irrelevant, you know, today along with the bunt?
Well, the statistical, the analytics are what's taken out, just taking away the whole game. If you ask a lot of older ball players, do they even like to watch baseball anymore? They're liable to say no, because the game is gone away from the innate talent, and athletic play, and it's gone to numbers. They don't care how you make an out. I was raised in a thing, at least if you put the ball in play, two out of the three things that can happen are good.
Right.
Okay. And, but you know, they're teaching that launch angle thing and all of these statistics about how hard the ball was hit off of the bat and all of that. Well, if you hit 216 and 39 home runs, you got about 39 hits or 40 hits for the year, don't you?
Hey, I know the Astros are in Seattle tonight. Has Dusty Baker cut a roster spot for you?
No, he's right here. We're out in we're spending the day out here in Western on the peninsula out here, and we usually get together. We've been best friends for a long time.
Bill, so, I don't want to annoy you, but for all your defensive prowess, okay, leading the league in chances, put outs, you had the misfortune to play during the same years as Freddie Lynn, Dwight Evans, Paul Blair, to name a few. So there's no gold gloves on your resume, which surprises the hell out of me because you were a gazelle. But Dwight Evans
surprised
locked that
the
up
hell
every
out
year.
Of me too.
Yeah, right. Was there any talk about that? Did you try to say something to somebody or ask reasons? Something? Who voted?
Freddie Lynn wore a Rawlings.
Well, he didn't win as many. Evans, he won like seven. You know, he dominated that.
Well, that's a right fielder.
Yeah.
You know, but from 73 to 76, I got more balls than anybody else.
Yeah. That's what I said. You led the league in chances and putouts. I know.
And you know, I had a couple of assists in there too. But that to me is something I really kind of wanted.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it works out.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring up a bad topic, but I just wanted to see how you felt about that, because I know I feel the same way you do. Like, you got robbed, you know?
Yeah, and there should have been an All-Star game or two in there, too. But we won't go there.
We can go there.
No,
we won't.
And if you are just tuning in, you are listening to Liberty Bell Smack right here on WWDB AM Talk 860, and we'll be right back.
Experience the madness on Thursday and Friday, March 17th and 18th at the all-new Delco Cup. Opening round of the tournament, enjoy $3 domestics and $3.50 imports from noon to 7. You heard me, noon to 7. Don't miss a single second of action from the opening tip-offs to the game-winning buzzer beaters. On every TV, watch every play, catch every game. Be a part of the madness at the all-new Delco Cup, 209 Baltimore Pike in Springfield. Please drink responsibly.
Somewhere along the line, the service industry took a wrong turn. But not at the family-owned and operated JT Auto Body, proudly serving its customers for over 25 years. JT Auto Body works with all the major insurance companies, so estimates will be accurate and worry-free. From full body repair to custom paint and everything in between. Located at 416 Primos Avenue in Fallcroft. Call 610-534-1643 for expert work done right. JT Auto Body. Service done right.
I'm Bill Brown. When I'm in Philadelphia, I listen to Liberty Bell Smack on WWDB.
Hello, everybody. I'm Pete Caliendo. When I'm in Philly, I listen to my favorite radio station, WWDB, Liberty Bell Smack. And you need to do the same thing.
are back at Liberty Bell Smack. I'm Marianne Costello, along with our hosts Mark Mancini and Sal Tartaglia. And we are going to continue our lip smack and trash talk in good Philadelphia style. Boys, are you ready?
Definitely.
Okay, because this next guest, if you're not good, he's going to find out about it. Are you ready? Are you sure you're ready?
Yeah.
Okay. He's been a private investigator for over 4 decades. He graduated with honors from Northeastern Illinois University in Chicago. His introduction to the investigation business came in 1982 when he was hired by a warehouse to go undercover and find renegade employees stealing from the company. Since then, he has represented both consumer attorneys and insurance companies on cases that involve fraud and misrepresentation. He has testified at trial on numerous occasions regarding identity fraud and social security number theft. From 1982 to 1988, he worked for various investigation agencies toward his PI license and was able to earn his California private investigator's license in 1988. In 1990, he started his own company, JR Investigations, which to this day includes surveillance services, background checks, locate skip tracing, fraud investigations, identity theft investigations, and family history research and air searches. In 1995, the California Association of Licensed Investigators, known as CALI, C-A-L-I, the largest private investigator association in the world, named him Investigator of the Year and earned a Certified Professional Investigator designation through CALI. Then in 1997, he was elected president of CALI and in the following year served as the chairman of the board. During his presidency, he established a volunteer program for licensed investigators to assist a nonprofit group in their efforts to locate missing and abducted children. While working several cases, one case got him noticed by CALI members. It was an abduction that led him to the violent streets of Guatemala City, where the abductor was the child's biological father. After 2 years of fruitless searches by the family and other investigators, he found the child and father within 24 hours. The child was reunited with his mother shortly thereafter. In 2006, after receiving numerous requests resulting in adoptees reuniting with their birth parents, he became the CEO and founder of birthparentfinder.com. Since its inception, it's been recognized as one of the leading national online companies for finding birth parents and biological relatives and reuniting families. He was also featured on ezinearticles.com as an expert author from 2010 through 2016 with published articles titled Vital Record Searches, Where to Find Birth, Marriage, and Death Records Online, Why Do Professional Birth Parent Searchers Charge a Fee, and What to Know When Searching for Public Records. In 2015, he was featured on KTLA News Weekend Edition in Los Angeles on the topic of locating birth parents and finding relatives for his role in successfully searching for morning news anchor Chris Schauble's biological mother and the remainder of his biological relatives. The story received national attention and was nominated for a Los Angeles Area Emmy Award. On January 24th, 2015, it won a Golden Mike Award, which is distributed by the Radio and Television News Association of Southern California. By July 2015, the news story received a SoCal Journalism Award from the Los Angeles Press Club. On June 26, 2021, he received the Distinguished Achievement Award from the California Association of Licensed Investigators. He has also been recognized for his volunteerism over a long period of time and for his successes in locating and reuniting biological relatives. To date, he has helped thousands of people reunite with their birth families and work numerous pro bono cases. His professional associations include both the World Association of Detectives and the Association of Professional Genealogists. He writes comedy, he drinks wine, and is the king of poker jokes. He's joining us in Philly talking smack that is all aces. Let's have a big Liberty Bell smack welcome to Jay Rosenzweig. How are you, Jay?
I'm good, Marianne. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, you're fascinating. I know I have to behave myself now.
This is going to get interesting, Jay. First of all, I want to see if you can investigate the clowns that kept Billy North out of the All-Star game in his playing days.
Yeah, I was a young man back then, I must say.
Four decades in the business. Who was instrumental, other than, you know, the warehouse thing, where you said to yourself, this is what I like to do, man. I got to get into this, because it's really an unbelievable profession, if you ask me. You know, as the world turns today, security is big, and being a nurse is big too. Those two fields won't go anywhere anytime soon, as far as falling apart. But who was instrumental in getting you into this business?
Well, it's interesting, because I moved here in 1982 from Chicago. I didn't have a job, just graduated college. And the first job I had was an undercover investigator. So I was actually pretty good at it. And then after I got ratted out, I continued in the business. And back in those days, it was very different. You work for different agencies toward your license. Today, you can't do that. Today, you have to work for a specific company on their payroll. So I work for different agencies. And what I learned was, I learned how to do criminal defense. I learned surveillance. I learned background investigations. I learned how to take statements. I learned traffic accident investigation. Most investigators today don't learn all of that. They just concentrate on one thing. But I was able to learn all of that and decide what I wanted to spend my career doing. And I did have mentors over the years, and I learned from a lot of different people. And this is, like you said, four decades in this business. It's been an incredible ride.
You know, I'll throw one more and I'll give it over to Sal. When you look at the way the world is going today, across the board, I mean, we're raised with, God things, biblical things, as far as, you know, how to handle them. But there's gray areas in the justice system today. You see, you know, the things, especially where people can steal under $1,000 and get away with it and everything. And, you know, we're out here trying to, you know, get a DA out of California and stuff. With the way the security is today, where do you see this thing going? Because I think, you know, with the cameras and everything, with the surveillance, I think it's just going to get harder and harder for these criminals.
Yes and no. I mean, I don't do criminal defense these right. days. I did it back in the day, but with cameras all over the place, criminals will be found. It's really hard to get away with a crime. It really is today. Back in the day, you could. And then DNA is another factor.
Right. Yeah.
With DNA, you can find the culprit.
Right.
Jay, you mentioned moving in from Illinois. And the reason that was important to me is because when I was a young man, I contacted Truth Seekers, and they originally were out of Chicago. But back in those days, you need signed releases. They're an old protocol now. Are they no longer valid? And I'll get to the reason I ask in a minute. But they're no longer valid. These signed releases, the closed adoptions, they don't stand up anymore.
No, they don't. DNA is a big factor in that, because right. once a family member takes a DNA test, it's out there.
Right.
And once you identify who the birth parent is, there's nothing stopping you from reaching out. It's just that's the way it is.
And the reason I bring that up is because in 23andMe, I found a long lost brother. His name is George. He lives in Texas, and we're all trying to get him to move back up here. But it's amazing when we met 2 years ago. He comes up every two or three times a year around the holidays too, and it's amazing. We're like twins. He moved from South Philly to North Philly with his adoptive parents, and then eventually we moved to Drexel Hill, and he went to Norristown. So the similarities with the families were close, too. But AT&T, eventually his job with AT&T is what caused him to move down south. And my dad worked for AT&T. The personalities are similar, even though he never met my dad. And my wife keeps saying, George is so calm, he's so nice and all. And he is. He's a great guy. But we were watching the Eagles game. And he sounded just like my father. He was yelling at the team when they did something wrong. So the personalities, the genes, they just carried over. It's so nuts, man. And even the AT&T thing. I mean, before all the phone companies, the diversification, they worked for the same company. He looks just like me. And
we hear that every day.
Yeah.
That's so common in this business.
It's really a great story, man. He'll be back up soon, June.
Yeah. Hey, we got Billy North here. Jay, Bill, do you want to throw in 2 cents on this subject?
I think he had to leave early, right?
I think he just stole the base.
Hey, Jay, how many missing cases? Any bad endings, sad stories?
You referring to missing?
Yes.
Case, missing children, missing yes. persons, or are you talking about
missing
just
persons
in
general.
Missing
persons in general.
You know, sometimes we find the person is deceased, died on the streets. And I honestly don't do a whole lot these days of missing persons cases because they tend to be expensive.
Right.
But I did do one recently, and I did it pro bono for someone only because the person that was missing was their son. And I had a general idea where he was, and it was within a 5-minute drive of my house. And I knew based on what they told me where he was. I went to that area, and there he was. And the family goes, what do we owe you? And I said, absolutely nothing. They gave me some money anyway. I didn't really want it, but they gave it to me. But they were so grateful that why would I charge them? It took me 10 minutes to find him. It was easy. They were grateful. And he had some issues that they needed to deal with. They actually took him cross country to North Carolina. I was told on the road, he escaped on the road, but they got him back. But it was a real tough situation. But the bottom line was that he got the help he needed. But there was no reason for me to charge him. And I know other investigators wanted to charge, but I just couldn't have the heart to do that.
I hear you, buddy.
Yeah. You know, Jay, when you look at it, I have a friend that was adopted. And, you know, seeing them grow up and everything, sometimes they become, you know, a loner type. They kind of, you know, because they don't know who their birth parents are. And, you know, you've dealt with a lot of these, including, you know, the great Chris Schauble over there at KTLA 5. Tell us about, you know, some of the cases that, you know, you with the experience and, you know, you're dealing with, you know, people that kind of feel like, well, I was left out. You know, who am I? Who's my parents? And they kind of feel despondent, depressed. And then there's others that just, you know, they're just trying to find their birth parents.
Well, it's not a good situation if they're not in the right place to find their parents. And we really don't want to take the case if they're not in the right place. We do vet our clients. We have someone who works for us named Linda. As a matter of fact, her husband used to play baseball for the Cardinals and the Padres back in the day.
Right.
And Billy knows who he is. But it's her job to vet these clients and see if they're in the right place. And she does a really good job of that. And if they are in the right place, there's keywords. I want to know my medical history. I want to know where I come from. I want to know if I look like my birth mother or my birth father. Do I have any siblings? Those are burning questions they want the answers to. But if they come to us and say, I want to talk to my birth mother and know why she gave me up. I've had a horrible life. We don't want those cases.
Yeah, definitely. Marianne, I don't know if we lost two now. We lost, I think Billy just stole third and Sal might have hit the restroom. But you got a question for Jay?
Well, I just think it's really cool that you're a private investigator, okay? Because
wow.
I'm good at finding people. I just don't have the license to do it. And I think it's really cool. Like, did you ever have a case where you were really looking and searching and your team was helping you too, and you just couldn't locate somebody? Or, you know, do you keep digging until you find something?
You know, over the years, we've solved thousands of cases. And I'm just thinking in the back of my mind, how many didn't we solve? And it's just really very few. And I can't remember the main reasons why we couldn't solve them. It's usually because bad information from the client. The person was either deceased, died a long time ago, or they were homeless. And homeless people, we do find homeless people. But if these are really, really tough cases.
I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to know if there's a success rate. Sounds like you have a really good success rate. But is there like a national average? Do they keep track of these things? I mean, do they grade you guys?
Probably not. But if I had to guess, I mean, all cases are different. What is considered success? Is success finding your family and having them reach out? Is it not finding them, but finding a distant relative? So overall, I think our success rate is probably over 90%.
That's great. That is. That's great.
Wow.
Well, if you are just tuning in, you are listening to Liberty Bell Smack right here on WWDB AM Talk 860. And you could find us on Facebook Live right now on the Liberty Bell Smack page or on WWDB AM Talk 860 page. So you could see our wonderful faces as we are talking. And if you are interested in becoming a sponsor on Liberty Bell Smack, drop us a line at libertybellsmack@gmail.com. And I know, boys, that we have a special caller on the line, and I'd like to put him on. And here you go. Hi, George. How are you?
Hello. How is everybody doing? Thanks for having me.
Good. Welcome to Liberty Bell Smack.
Wow. I am Sal's long-lost brother.
What do you say, brother? How you doing?
Wow. Well, good.
Well, yeah. I'm going to call you Curious George now.
Yeah. Okay. I am now the official oldest Tartaglia, but that's not my last name. I am 16 months older than Sal.
That was a crown I didn't wear well anyway.
Well, like I always joke, I'll take the crown, just don't give me any responsibility. But anyway, I just wanted to add that correct me if I'm wrong, Sal, wasn't I a rumor floating around the family for years that you knew about me, but not who I was?
Well, I did hear rumors, and I brought it up to my mother, and it liked to crush her. So I saw the reaction she had, and I knew it was so taboo, so I never brought it up again. And Dad in his early years was the same type of person, stalwart and, you know, not shut off, but not as open as he got to be later. And so I never talked to him about it. And come to find out, when he did get soft in his older years, he talked to our sister Marie about it. And I wish, wow, I said I would have brought it up and found out, because, you know, in the beginning, when I was young and knew about it, I tried to go through Truth Seekers, but there was some, you know, signed releases. And the whole thing was that people said to me, friends, what are you going to do if you find him? I said, well, from afar, I'm going to see if his life is great, and if finding out what's wrong, you know, what happened upsets the apple cart, then I'm just not going to say anything. It's great enough for me to see that he's fine. But if there was an opening, I would have. But again, I never pursued it. And then when the taboo thing, I hurt Mom so bad when I asked her. So I never ever dared bring it up again, you know.
Okay.
Wow, yeah. That's amazing.
But I have some pictures. Can I put them on the screen, or do you mind, George? Because I want to show everybody how similar we looked. First of all,
no, go ahead. Go right
ahead. As little guys, you can't tell us apart.
Right.
Now wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's not the best one. Wait a minute. As we get a little older, look, in our early 20s.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we did the same things without knowing each other. Wait a minute. We also.
Are you sure these aren't photoshopped?
Look. I mean, we followed each other without knowing it all throughout our lives. It's so crazy how Listen, you hear about nature and nurture, and yes, they do play an important role, but never underscore the nature part of it. Never.
Wow. You guys were a couple of Ranger Ricks back then.
Well, I never knew them until 2 years ago, you know.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Wow.
You know, it's amazing.
When you look at and hear something like this, Jay, I mean, with people finding their brother or sister or stuff like that, do you ever get cases where, let's say you're in school and you're trying to, I know there's a site called Finding Your Classmates and trying to find out where they all are. Are you instrumental in helping those people too?
It's interesting, Mark, you say that, because once in a while I get a call from someone saying, hey, I want to find my high school sweetheart. And it's like, it's kind of a joke. There it goes back to my joke writing. It's like, first they preface this by saying, I'm a happily married man, but I want to find my high school sweetheart. I'm thinking, well, if you're happily married, why do you want to find your high school sweetheart, right? So here's what I would do. I say, look, we will find your high school sweetheart, reach out to her on your behalf, but we're not going to give her your contact information. We're going to see if she wants to reach out to you.
Great.
And that's for privacy reasons.
Exactly.
But I'll take that case, but half the time they say, no, I don't want you doing that. I said, fine, then we're not going to do it for you.
Yeah, they obviously just had the itch. They weren't curious to find anybody. They just had the itch. You know?
Right.
Yeah. Usually, you know, my last night, when I went to my high school reunion, I think it was about three before the pandemic, and we had a class of 1,000. It went down. There was only 200 that showed up. And it was amazing. I said to myself, where did these 800 go? I might have to have you do a search on these 800.
Well, I have news for you guys. We have a couple of Facebook shout outs I want to say, because you have Todd Helseth that says, the man, Mark Mancini. just so you know, you have a fan. And then we have a special shout out for Ralph Williams. And he wants to know, Jay, could you ask Jay if insurance fraud is his number one business?
It was back in the 1990s. And then insurance companies went to in-house SIU units, and that kind of killed our business. So, and that's when I got involved with finding birth relatives, and the rest is history with that.
And when you look at this, Jay, I think what your business is, the sky is the limit, because, you know, like I said, alluded to earlier, you know, with nursing and, you know, this business is, you know, with security will never go away, and finding people and all this, because people are intrigued, or people want to find somebody. And, you know, maybe sometimes it's always not the best intentions. Has there been any horror stories in some of these things that you've kind of thought, oh, I don't know about this case?
Yeah, there's always horror stories. I'll give you an example. I don't know if this is a horror story, but two recent cases. Guy gets a woman pregnant, right?
Yeah.
Happens, and she's trying to extort money from him. And they meet online, whatever, and she's, hey, I'm pregnant. And my job is to find out if this woman's really pregnant.
Right.
Wow.
So I had one case where he was a rap artist, won't mention his name.
Right.
And this woman lived Central California and never left her house. How are we going to find out if she's pregnant? How are we going to find out? Wow. And look, I got to do justice for this client. That's what I'm hired to do. Is she pregnant? Is she not pregnant? Because he's paying a lot of money. So we sent an undercover to her front door, pretending to be with a representative on a class action regarding PG&E and all the exposure to like lead. So we asked her if she's ever been, she had a fake sheet for asking questions. We asked her if she's ever pregnant, and she goes, no, I've never been pregnant, never had any children.
Wow.
Boom, boom. At that point, we told our client, he says, this woman's not pregnant, never been pregnant. Wow. Stop paying the money you're paying her. And he stopped. He never heard from her again. And is that a horror story? Not really, but it's a blessing for my client. It's a horror story for her because she got no more support, but good. We did justice for our client.
For you. Jay, I got one last question. Before we break, I want to switch a gear and ask you a baseball question because I know you're well-versed. But I want to bring my brother in again because we have to wrap up soon, and I just want to say goodbye and see if he has any questions for you, Jay.
Sure.
George?
Jay, out of the relatives that you find, are the majority of them good reunions, or are there some that are just heartbreaking and people wish they hadn't found them? I mean, what's that like to experience that?
That is the million-dollar question, and that's one of the best questions you could ask, because we've had it both ways. I'll give you a bad situation that we made good. I contacted a birth mother, and she goes, how did you find me? This was a secret. We're going to take this to the grave. Please, I never told my family. And I made her a promise that I won't give my client her information. I won't call her children. And she just was so grateful that I did this. And she also gave me all the medical history information for her daughter. And, and this birth mother contacts me every once in a while just to say thank you. And that, to me, I'm okay with that. The client is okay with that. And you know what? I'm not going to reunite them if they don't want to be reunited.
Right,
but honestly, sure. I would say maybe 30 to 40% of the people I find want to be connected. Mm-hmm. And that's a blessing. And that segues real quick into I do a segment on KTLA Channel 5 in Los Angeles. And you can find it anywhere on KTLA.com. It airs Friday tomorrow. We do this every couple of weeks. It's called Finding Family. And it's on a show called Off the Clock, KTLA.com. And we share our heartwarming reunion stories. And once in a while, we share some that aren't heartwarming, just to let people know that it can go both ways.
You can share ours if you want, Jay.
Sure.
We have to wrap up soon, George. So I'm going to say goodbye.
And, okay. Thanks for having me.
Jay, if there's time for a brief answer, I wanted to ask, the MLB electronic technology between the pitcher and catchers, it was established to prevent sign stealing. Did anybody give any thought to what if the catcher sees a steal sign? Can he relay it to the pitcher? I mean, it goes two ways. Did anybody give any thought to that, you think?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I actually thought about that. With technology, you can intercept anything. and it's like, go back to basics.
51 Giants. They got in trouble for it. Right.
I come up with something different. Use eye movement. Use lip movement. Use whatever you can use. But I don't like the technology that they use right now.
No, it's like cheating. Makes it too easy.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe Jay, you can find a cousin of mine that might, be a millionaire here. Maybe we'll have to talk about that off the air. We've got a lot of cousins out there all over the place. Maybe one of them's rich and not saying nothing to me.
Well, we've had a lot of rich people try to find their relatives, but we never tell the relatives that the client is a billionaire. And it's just if you say no, I don't want to meet that person, then you got a problem.
Yeah.
Well, I can't believe, guys, it's that time that the whole hour went past. And Jay, if I want to find that billionaire and we want to get in touch with you, as I'm sure all of these Philly fans are going to want to get in touch with you now, how do we do that?
It's real simple. We are all over social media. Our website is birthparentfinder.com. Mm-hmm. On Instagram, we're at Birth Parent Finder. We're also on Facebook, at Birth Parent Finder. We're on Twitter, at Parent Finder. But Google us, we're all over the place.
Well, and I'm not sure if Bill is still there. I'm not really sure if he's still there or not. But
he's
we
still
did.
Home.
Maybe Bill North, he was going out. He was going out with Dusty Baker. Yeah. He's like, Liberty Bell smack. What? I got my own smack here. So yeah. I don't know if you're still there, Bill, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, Bill, I'm sorry. I thought you were gone. I had other questions for you. Oh, well, we have to get him back on. We have to get him back on.
Well, we came back to you, Bill.
Stolen base leader, man. He's passing Ricky Henderson and Lou Brock.
We came back to Bill, and he wasn't there.
I've been here the whole time listening to you guys.
And we came back to you, and we didn't hear you, so we are so sorry for that. We thought you might have just, like, vamoosed off. But if people wanted to get in touch with you or see you or anything, can they follow you anywhere on social media, or how do they get in touch with you?
I'm at home.
My man.
No, I'm just done by 5523. I'll be there.
Okay. Hey, Bill, you and Dusty party responsibly tonight, all right, brother?
All right, you will. Tell him hi, baby.
All right, man.
All right, Dusty.
But hold on, guys, because we love to end every show with the Liberty Bell smack chant. Can you guys hang in there for just 2 minutes? Because we'd love you to be a part of it.
Sure can.
We got Dusty there too, man.
Yeah,
man,
I know.
The Astros.
Well, I have to tell you, it's been wonderful having both Jay and Bill on tonight. And next week, we will have author and historian David Finoli and former MLB outfielder and first baseman Scott Van Slyke. So that should be an interesting show right there.
Yeah, that should be. I mean, I don't know why I don't like the Dodgers a lot, but I'll have to be on my best behavior next week, you know, and have to boost up the Dodgers. But
if you're not on your best behavior, if you're not on your best behavior, Jay's going to be looking for you.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll find me in the Delaware River.
That is an absolute possibility. And Jay, just let us know your television show where our listeners can catch you again.
Every other Friday, and tomorrow it's going to be on. It's at 2 p.m. Pacific time, KTLA.com. And you can watch it on the internet.
Jay, real fast, what would they think of this show?
Nothing negative. I love it. It's great. You guys have a lot of energy.
It's because we're afraid of you, Jay.
Now, I sowed all my oats. I would have been afraid of them years ago, but now I have nothing to hide.
Well, I have news for you. There's Ralph Williams. He's putting on here. The baseball player, which is Bill North, went into the Denny's and said to the server, "What do you recommend?" And the server said, "The Grand Slam." I will let you guys know that. And then also, George had told Sal, "I'm not rich."
Yeah, don't I know it? All right. Hey, can I give a quick shout out to Joey Buchholz from Utopian Baseball Universe? This is his T-shirt.
Look at that!
Get in touch with him. He has a great page of simulated games. You'll really enjoy it.
Send you a blank check too?
No.
Possibly. But I want to thank Bill North and Jay Rosenzweig for coming on to Liberty Bell Smack. And this has been a wonderful time. It is the lip smacking, trash talking good Philadelphia style here every Thursday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's prime time drive time for you people in the Northeast. And we are found on WWDB AM Talk 860. If you happen to miss the show, you can still go ahead and catch it by going on their app or to their website, WWDBAM.com, and you can click and listen to this wonderful show, especially if you want to hear all about Bill and if you want to hear all about Jay. And now we found out Jay can help us out maybe finding that long lost relative as well. So I'm sure he'll be pretty popular after this. But guys, we love to end every show with a chant. And the way we do that is we count from 5 down to 1. And we all say all together, Liberty Bell Smack. Can you guys do that for me?
Yes.
Okay, starting at 5, all of us together. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Liberty Bell Smack. That's what I'm talking about.
Yep.